Good evening, everyone. My name is Jeffrey Combs. I want to welcome you to the Tuesday night More Heart Than Talent Mindset Call, the last day of May 2016. Welcome, everyone. June 1st, right around the corner. That is tomorrow. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's going to be a fabulous call tonight. I'm going to cover three-way calling etiquette and also some of the anxiety that's created before any of that happens, because a large percent of the population goes into fight or flight and overwhelm mode and then has challenges finishing and closing. So I'll give you some key insight into cause and effect, why you do what you do, how to effectively let go of the anxiety that creates you overwhelmed, and how to effectively be able to ask the questions in a sequence for the result that you are seeking. Before I move into the inspirational portion of tonight's call, I'll cover a few quick announcements. Starting Monday, June 6th, will be my live prospecting clinic. That's my prospecting clinic 2.0. That will be version number 2. Earlier in the spring, I conducted 4 consecutive weeks of live dials. I'll be reinventing that same product with more added benefits and features and a team or in a group page for that call. If you want to take advantage of that, that is a $197 purchase price, a value of well over four figures, You can go directly to prospectingclinic.com. It has its own website where you can enroll in that product and also take advantage of some of the bonus product items. Those calls will be recorded, and as I said, will have its own group page, prospectingclinic.com. That is June 6th, 13th, 20th, and 27th at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. All of those calls will be recorded. I'll have many different versions of prospecting clinics coming up in the next few years as I'm taking selling to the next level from multiple ventures. I'm teaching people how to sell real estate, mortgages, finance, how to have a better dialogue with money, network marketing, direct sales, intellectual property, online products, and how to be effective at lead generation and any multitude of situations that will allow you to be much more effective in your communication, asking, and listening skills. This Saturday, June 4th, in beautiful Atlanta, Georgia, right at the airport, my host Ryan Graham, who is on the call tonight, will be hosting me in Atlanta at the Marriott Airport Hotel. I typically use the Hilton. The Marriott is a good backup version for me. That's right at the airport, easy access. That is a 9 to 4 event this Saturday. It will be very intimate. I'll be covering a lot of insight into what goes on in your inner dialogue that keeps you overwhelmed, checking out, and doing the same thing over and over, and how to effectively let go, have better communication skills so you connect, communicate, attract a culture and or a following. That will be this Saturday. June 9th, 10th, and 11th is my Breakthroughs to Success event. I make note of that because that is my anniversary event, number 16 years of hosting that event. That will be group number 113. Group number 100 was 3 years ago, June 2013. This is number 113 groups have attended that event. June 18th, I will be in White Plains, New York, /Rye, New York. Chrissy Napolitano will be hosting me in that event. June 25th, Orlando. July 9th, Bozeman, Montana. July 16th, Pleasanton /San Francisco, California, my beautiful city by the bay. I had the opportunity to spend some time in North Beach and Sausalito this last Saturday. If you've never been to the city by the bay, it is a must. July 23rd, Fort Lauderdale, Florida. July 30th, Marina Del Rey. August 20th, Albany, New York. Those are some of the events that I have planned up into the fall. August 27th, I just booked Philadelphia. I was going to have Philadelphia in October. They had no openings at the hotels at the airport in Philadelphia, so I did restructure that event. August 27th, the City of Brotherly Love, Philadelphia. And then I have many more events going into the fall, and I'll be announcing some of those later. I do have open dates. If you'd like me to speak in your city on October 8th, October 22nd, and August 13th. Susan Sly and I are close to booking an event in Phoenix, Arizona sometime in the fall, one of the dates that I have open, Susan has specifically asked me to cover the four personality types. Now, I have an 8-CD set available on download also called Personalities for Success, the Animal Factor. I have so much content and other products that I seldom ever get around to that one, but that is one of my niches, understanding the four personality types, the 16 personality types, predictabilities, cause and effect, why they do what they do, and how to effectively read a person. I'll be covering some of that content on one of my upcoming Tuesday night More Heart Than Talent Mindset calls. Last but not least, if you'd like to take advantage of my free 15-minute coaching offer that I've been using for since 1998, and if you want to take advantage of one of those free 15 minutes, it's an opportunity for you to receive some insight, breakthrough on cause and effect, why you do what you do, and how to be much more effective in the way you communicate with yourself so you can communicate with others. With that, we will move into the inspirational portion of tonight's call. This call is officially being recorded and will be available for playback tomorrow, that is Wednesday, June 1st, by 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Tonight's call is dedicated to being able to leverage your energy through the efforts of some other teammate, leader, or mentor on how to effectively close a transaction. When you are in a business that requires money movement, that is a transaction. And if you're not skilled at closing, i.e. finishing, then you'll have anxiety about the outcome before you start. What hinders many want-to-be success seekers when it comes to mastering the art of closing, communicating, connecting, is the stories they tell themselves before they start. Now, by using someone else in your circle of influence, a mentor, a leader, a coach, someone that you trust, someone that has influence and or affluence, you start to let go of some of your anxieties that keep you doing the same thing over and over. By leveraging someone else who's effective at finishing and closing, you also get to see precisely how it is done. If you ever leverage me or ask me to do a close for you or do a presentation for you or take someone through a very relaxed, simple process so you can qualify a lead for the time, ask the questions in a sequence, find out if the qualified buyer is qualified, if there's a problem that I or you could resolve, if there's a benefit, feature, product, or service that would be of asset to the person we're communicating with, then I would show you how to effectively ask the questions. My system is very non-complicated. It's very simple. It's a system I could teach an 18-year-old, which I have done before, a young man named Billy Traytree, out of University of Texas at Arlington, who answered one of my ads. He became a very skilled closer when he was 18 years old as a freshman in college, on up to someone who's in their 60s, 70s, or 80s, because closing is not only a skill, it's a very relaxed exercise in asking the questions in a sequence, finding out if there's a problem you can resolve. Now, if there's not a problem you can resolve, there's a high probability that there will not be a transaction. And when that happens, it's important in the neocortex of your brain that you begin to understand that that is not rejection. Your brain will take a picture of an event from a past event and create a feeling out of it. And feelings that are repressed, then your brain will also create a placebo effect. That's why addicts reach for food, drugs, sex, alcohol, compulsive spending, gambling, anorexia, bulimia, any multitude of situations to create a placebo effect, meaning tricking your brain into having a release of dopamine so it's similar to the sexual release that you would have in a very relaxed state. And that's what the placebo effect is, a very relaxed state that you get instant gratification for future pain. Now, an addict also understands the guilt and resentment situation. We seek instant gratification for future pain. Now, as you begin to let go of the stories you tell yourself about an outcome that has not happened, then you can be in a B state, you can be present. But if you have a story about an outcome based on a past event that you bring into your present awareness, then you've created the placebo effect to avoid the situation before you start. You actually get a high from avoiding because you don't fail and you don't succeed. It keeps you in an overwhelmed state called doubt. And actually, you've tricked your brain into that placebo effect. You just go, ah, I didn't get rejected. Ah, I didn't fail. But you also didn't succeed, which leads to guilt, which is the lowest transmutation of energy. Hence, the purpose of a three-way call gives you the opportunity to leverage your energy through the efforts of someone else who, i.e., is an expert. Now, I learned how to do three-way calls in the very early 90s from an expert who was very skilled at it and learned from a man who was worth $500 million at the time. And the man who I learned those skills from and that woman were very, very skilled at doing a three-way call in anywhere from 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. How long does it require to do a three-way call? That will be up to you. That will be up to the situation. Every selling experience has its own situation, but for duplication process, a three-way call should not be a long, drawn-out exercise where there's a lot of explanation, a lot of explaining, because you can't duplicate it. The minute you start talking, duplication goes down. You want to be able to have simplicity. Now, the prospect is entitled to ask you any multitude of questions, but you also have to understand, once you start doing a lot of talking and explaining, you're now standing on the back of your heels rather than on the balls of your feet. When you are communicating, that's a metaphor, you want to be in a very relaxed state where you're in your hips, you're in your lower abdomen, you're in your sexual energy, you're in your power. You don't want to be in your left brain, your analytical, egoic mind, where you're talking about all the benefits and features, doing a lot of explaining. Because if you do that, then you have to be an expert. Now, you can be an expert, but it's challenging to duplicate being an expert. Brilliance is overrated. I understand that. But you want to be so simple, so practical, that you can teach your system to people that join your team. Simplicity is what creates the duplication. The simpler the situation is, the non-complicated it is, the easier it is for someone to make the transition. This is not a difficult transition, it's new. And the more you understand the newness of the transition, then you can relax your egoic mind, your analytical mind that gets overwhelmed. But if you have a story about the outcome before you start, that is unequivocally a recipe for an emotional relapse. And that is why so many people never cross the success bridge. They stay in the bridge of doubt, and they stay on the outer bank of success, looking from the outside, looking in. Now, if you're ready to let go of that anxiety and move forward, here are some very simple basic principles. When you are teaching a teammate how to do a three-way call, it's important that your teammate learns how to edify you, edify the company, the product, the benefit of the service, whatever it is you're marketing. A simple edification means that you're creating credibility. So you want your teammate to edify you or anyone in your team as an expert, not faking it till you make it, not making false income claims, not making false product claims, real, realistic, documentable content. I'd like to introduce you to my mentor. My mentor's name is Susan Smith. Susan lives in Los Angeles. Susan used to be an attorney. She's been with our organization for a couple of years. She's very successful at what she does. She had a great product experience. What I'm going to do is introduce you to Susan. Any questions you have, she'll be able to answer them for you. So when Susan answers, you're able to say, Susan, this is Jeffrey Combs. How are you this evening? On the other line, I have John Doe. John used to hunt deer. No, John didn't used to. I have John Smith on the other line. John is also an attorney from San Francisco, California. John has taken a look at our products, benefits, and features. He's been through a very relaxed system. He has a few questions that he would like to ask you. Susan, John, Susan. Once that's happened, you exit the conversation. Your objective is to sit there and listen, to watch, hear how it's done. Your objective is not to interrupt the expert. Once you interrupt the expert and go, what I think, what I know, oh, can you cover this? Now the prospect's head is turning. It's on swivel mode, you know, like you've seen in certain movies. So the head's on swivel mode going, who is the expert here? Who is on first? Your objective is to learn while you earn. You have the other person do this for you so you can understand how it's done. Now, if I'm doing a three-way call, I'm going to find out a little bit about John. I'm going to find out where he went to law school, how long he's been an attorney, just some basic content so we can fact find and rapport build. I'm going to ask him how serious he is about improving the quality of his health, how serious he is about using our benefit product and feature, and how serious he is about starting a business. Just some basic, relaxed questions. This should take anywhere from 1, 2, 3 minutes as I break the ice with him. Then I'm going to say, John, are there any specific questions I can answer for you about our products, benefits, features, or how to create income with our company, or the credibility of our company? Whatever it is, it's going to be very routine. There's no pressure. Pressure is an illusion. Pressure gets created in the neocortex of your analytical, egoic brain based on a past event where you might get in trouble, you might make a mistake, you might be judged, you have to be defensive and sensitive. When you bring that mixed message into a communication, you virtually are sending a signal that says, don't join me, go ahead and reject me, abandon me, let's go ahead and get this over with so I can feel disappointed and bad. Voila, that is the very situation you create. That's the payoff you get by being anxiety. Addicts do not understand the payoff. Payoff? I don't want no payoff. A payoff means you do the same thing over and over. In Latin, the word re means to do over and over. That's what resentment is. Resentment is an over and over situation, so you end up justifying, validating, and judging yourself in your own resentment, disappointment because of what you do over and over. As you no longer the mind-body connection to the events that shape your feelings, now you can learn to engage people. People seldom ever reject you. People seldom ever criticize you in business unless you've earned it or you encounter someone who's passive-aggressive and is very highly critical of themselves and they cast that kind of criticism on you. As you learn to live in humility, and the truly humble person cannot be criticized because they don't receive criticism like that. They're able to see that someone's inner conflict is about themselves, and when they cast it upon you, you're able without sensitivity or defensiveness, be able to neutralize the situation and get on with your life. You don't get overwhelmed. You don't feel rejected and or abandoned. And this is why it's so important that you begin to understand this, that there is no pressure. Control is an illusion. Your objective is never to control the conversation. Your objective is receiving ever relaxed conversation. You'll also find out relatively quickly that a large percent of the population is not open to receive. Most of the population, not all of them are skeptical. There is a small percent that is skeptical, but most of the population is checked out. They will prejudge a situation before they even get to it. Now, take this in context. When you are connecting, asking, and prospecting, you also have to have a better understanding of the Canadian, American, and Australian populace. And I've spent quality time in all three countries. A large percent of my life in the United States, I've traveled a lot of the world, I've also done a few tours in Australia, and I've coached many, many Canadian clients and done a few tours there. So what does that mean? It means predictable, that a lot of society is predictable. Here's what's predictable. A large percent of society consumes trans fat and GMOs, meaning they're not health conscious. There is a percent that is health conscious. There's also a large percent of the population, the 80%, that's tiptoeing quietly through life, overwhelmed. When you present to an overwhelmed person, there's a high probability they'll check out before they ever see the value. And the cost is always too high until value is presented. So when someone asks you how much your product, benefit, feature cost, before the value has been presented, understand this, the cost is always too high until value is presented. When you understand that, then you'll let go of those people, and you also will not answer a money question without presenting the value. Because no matter how much you say, it's going to be too high until the value is presented. And this is a very common commonality. As you begin to let go of some of your anxieties about what has not happened, you start to be in power rather than force. When you attempt to force yourself into a situation that you have anxiety about, you will attract a counterforce to counterbalance your addictive behavior. That way you can justify being abandoned, being neglected, being rejected, being overwhelmed, being disappointed, and being resentful. That's what happens when you force yourself into a situation. You attract the very situation you seek to avoid to fulfill an emotional addiction that you continue to perpetuate over and over so you can be and stay. And when you do this and you say, I don't understand why these other people are succeeding and I'm not. The reason you're not succeeding, number one, is you're not patient. Number two, you're overwhelmed. Number three, you haven't learned the skills, you haven't mastered the mindset or the habits. Once again, this is the benefit of having a mentor, someone you can model yourself after, a coach, someone that's cross-line to you, that's there for you, available to you. This happens in 12-step programs all the time. You find yourself a sponsor in your 12-step culture, someone who you can sit down with, who can walk you through the 12 steps of recovery. Well, it's the same situation. If you are fortunate enough to attract someone you can connect with, if you're fortunate enough to have someone cross-line, up-line, down-line, over-line, that can do a three-way call with you, also understand this, three-way calls are not about being perfect. Three-way calls are about effectively qualifying prospects for your time. Three-way calls are about the result. Three-way calls are about the experience. Three-way calls are learning how to be effective. Take perfection out of the equation and learn how to be effective as a business owner and entrepreneur in free enterprise as you walk through this great place called transition. As you're going through recovery, transition, learning the skills, habits, mindset, that's the value of having someone being able to close for you. So if you had me, if you were using me to close a sale, seldom if ever would this experience be more than 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. It doesn't mean that I'm fast. It means I'm effective. I'm very clear on what my objective is. My objective is to qualify the prospect for my teammate, qualify the prospect for the benefit feature. I'm going to ask a few questions. And these aren't questions you write down and take notes on. This is practical, common sense, street sense, business sense. It's not scripted. I have a script book that you'll have access to if you purchase my prospecting clinic, but you don't sit there and read it and go, my name is Data. Hello, Mr. Prospect. I'm going to ask you this question in a sequence to see if you qualify for my time. There's no energy in that. That's not the objective. The objective is not to read the script perfectly. The objective is to ask the questions to be able to take a prospect through a very relaxed, simple system so that a transaction is created and a win-win is created. Your objective is for the prospect to have a result from the benefit, feature, product, and service that you're marketing. You're selling the good life. You're marketing the dream. All of you on tonight's call, you have products, benefits, features, and services that people can get an instant gratification from, whether it's an energy shot, whether it's a vanity product, whether it's a weight loss product, a detox product, a cleanse product, any multitude of situations, a product that affects the immune system, a product that gives longevity, a product that affects the telomeres, all of these situations, you have access to these in some of your companies, some of the circle of influence that you're in. Because all of you are marketing something of value. But you have to be able to be valuable for that to happen. But if you've devalued yourself, then you have created a mixed message. And this is why you also want to be able to do a three-way call with someone who's been there and done that. They don't have to be a superstar. They don't have to make $1 million. But you want someone who can close a sale for you so you can see how it's done. And it's also done in a very relaxed presence. You also have to let the expert do what they do without, like I said, interrupting them. You also have to let the expert sometimes let go of your prospect because the expert understands that you're attached to the outcome and you haven't had a sale since the late 70s and you require a sale to fulfill your low self-esteem. And sometimes your upline or your mentor will blow someone off, let them go, tell someone to get back with them because they understand the inner game. And you'd have to let that person go without stalking, begging, or chasing. It was very common when I do three-way calls with my teammates. I will let the prospect go if I don't feel they're a qualified prospect. I'll say, you know what, John? This business or this product and service doesn't sound like it's for you right now. Or if the person lets me know that they're not interested, I'll thank him and let them go. And I'll say, Steve, stay on the line with me because I want my teammate to stay on the line so my teammate isn't on the other line for another hour trying to beg, stalk, and hold the prospect hostage, even though the prospect has let them know that they're not interested. I've actually picked up my phone before to make a dial, and my prospect or my teammate didn't click off, and I've heard a whole other conversation of begging, cajoling, and going on and on. Make sure that when you're teaching your teammates this, that you start to practice some of this. When you're done with the prospect, do your best to teach your teammates not to stay on the phone for another half hour, hour drunkalogue. Because when many people do this because of how attached they are. When you're not attached to the outcome, I'll break this down for you. When you're not attached to the outcome, then it's not personal. When you personalize the situation, when you come from an insatiable place where you have to have something, where you're going to get someone. How do I get my prospects? How do I get my teammates to this rank advancement? You're not a getter, you're a leader. You lead by example, you meet people where they are, and you learn to do this. You learn that this is part of the inner game. The interview process, the questions in a sequence. Once again, this is simple. When you are qualifying a prospect for your time, it's a series of simple questions. This isn't some great big strategy that has to be blueprinted black and white, and the questions do not have to be perfect. You don't have to ask every question in a sequence. This questions in a sequence means you ask questions based on answers. Your objective is to lead a prospect to where they're qualified, where you can do a presentation, where you don't have to be the presenter unless it's some kind of unique situation. If you're doing a launch party, a home party, a private business reception, you might be the presenter, but you're not the issue when you're the presenter. All you're doing is disseminating the content so the qualified buyers can evaluate the situation. You want to be able to eliminate some of the prospects who aren't interested, find the prospects who are committed and want to follow through so they can review the content so then they can make a decision. That's where you come in if you're the closer. Closers don't pose, closers close. A closer closes because a closer is a finisher. Closers are committed. Closers are decisive. Closers are very diplomatic when it comes to closing. Your objective is not to overpower a prospect. Your objective is to be in power. Your objective is not to convince anyone, but you also will have to understand that many of your prospects will have objections. An objection is not a rejection. An objection typically is a stall. An objection is not always black and white. Many objections are legitimate. You have to be able to find out how legitimate the objection is by asking a series of questions. When someone lets you know they're not interested, that's not an objection you overcome. That's an objection you let someone go. But you also have to understand that your left brain, when you're desperate, will go, yeah, but. I've had many of my teammates in my career, many of my coaching clients, they ask me a question, I give them content, I'm answering the question, and mid-sentence they're going, yeah, but. Now, if that is you, that means that in the middle of the middle of getting a result, you check out and you're into the next question. That's unfortunately what a lot of people do who aren't skilled at prospecting. They're so consumed with getting their question answered that they don't hear what's meant, they only hear what's said, and they're more concerned with getting all the questions done perfectly. Yes, some of you are going, that's me. They're more consumed with getting all their questions answered than they are than qualifying the prospect. This is based on a past event with a passive-aggressive personality, teacher, educator, parent, brother, sister, where you had to validate, justify, and explain yourself. When you are in humility, when you are relaxed in yourself, when you're in peace, you don't have to do a lot of explaining. Because once again, if you go into explain mode, now you're talking. If you're doing a lot of talking, that's not duplicatable. You want to be able to use systems, events, parties, rallies, conventions, workshops, webinars, podcasts, Zoom calls, you want to be able to leverage those tools and those strategies so you're not doing the explaining. If you ever spent any time with me, you'll see that I do most all of the asking. When I do explain, it's in a very short window. It's packaged. It's about 30 seconds, maximum 45 seconds, seldom ever more than 2 minutes because the prospect or the potential client loses attention because they have a short attention span. And if you keep someone on the phone for 2 hours, then guess what they do when they go to close? They're going to do exactly what you do. Now, everyone's entitled to make an intelligent decision, but because most of the clients that you're encountering make emotional decisions, it shouldn't take you relatively long for a qualified prospect to decide if the benefit, feature, product, service, or dream matches some of their future goals. It should take one conversation, perhaps. That doesn't happen very often. Someone may be following you on one of the social media sites or one of the social media pages. They may follow you and they end up in your inbox. They go, I'm ready to join you. Well, that would be a one-call close typically. A two-call close is typically when you have a relaxed conversation, qualify someone, they review the content. you engage them after they've reviewed the content, they've watched a video, et cetera, and they may require more questions. That's when you use three-way call. You'll also use a three-way call when you're relatively new, you don't know what you're doing, and you want someone else to assist you with this transition. That's when you typically use a three-way call. As you become an expert, you will rely less on a three-way call, and you'll be doing three-way calls for your teammates. Myself, in my process, I have done in the thousands of three-way calls. It wasn't uncommon for me to do 5 to 10 three-way calls in a day as my team was beginning to flourish. That's also how I became very proficient at that process. That's why I learned real quickly that it doesn't require an hour to be able to answer everyone's questions. When you're doing a three-way call, there's only a few basic questions that you should be answering. If someone has to know the pay plan, then you better be able to explain it in a very short window, or have a place that you can leverage that so you're not on the phone for an hour explaining the ins and outs, the upside downs, the inside reverse outside leg, and all of the content that most people talk too much about. You want to be able to cover the very basics about how compensation is created and how a paycheck ends up in your box on Monday. I mean, because that's the bottom line, the result. If someone wants to know all the products, what's in the product, you'd have to ask a more specific question. When you're closing a sale, you want to find out what the real objection is, what the real purpose is. You want to be able to find out how qualified the buyer is by the questions that you ask. I like to always narrow the questions down. John, are there any questions I can answer for you about how to be compensated, how to use our products and services, or a little bit about our company? I mean, I would narrow that down. Yeah, tell me about your company. Our company was founded in 2012. Our company is located in Cincinnati, Ohio. Last year, our company did a little over $500 million. Our company has produced over 27 people who create at least multiple six figures. Does it sound like something you'd like to find out more about? I mean, basics. You do not go into a lot of detail. And you just don't do that, because there's also places you can ask that your clients and your prospects, you can also direct them to other places where they can receive their own content. What you're looking for is a qualified buyer who has a specific goal that they want to meet. You're looking for someone who has desire, looking for someone who wants to make a change in their health, their wealth, their business. You're looking for someone who has clearly defined short-term goals. You have to do this enough so that you understand repetition and experience. When you become very good and proficient at this, you should be able to tell in about 30 seconds, 1 minute, 2 minutes, whether this is someone you want to spend any time with. Someone asks you a lot of prove-it questions, puts you in a position that you have to defend yourself, that's typically not someone you want to be in business with, because they're flaw finders. They are typically looking for you to make a mistake, looking for you to trip up. They're looking to find out that there was someone who died on the product, or they're looking for some bizarre situation to validate and justify why they shouldn't do it. Beware of that person. They typically ask skeptical questions, analytical questions, abrasive questions, prove it to me questions. Real quickly, I am out of that conversation. Also, beware of the person, or be aware of the person who's not sure. I'm not sure if I can do this. Be aware of the person that wants you to beg or convince them. They have very low energy. They're givers, servers. They're not sure if they could do this. They have a different level of skepticism. Their skepticism is more about their disbelief in themselves. Now, some of your products and benefits and features, some of your clients can get instant gratification. But when you bring on someone who's an addicted dieter, I mean, the law of probability of them getting a benefit and a feature and result is not as high as someone who's committed to achieving a result. But once again, this is not a black and white situation. You have to read every situation for what it is, be flexible, adapt and adjust to the situation for what it is, and also be able to teach this to your team in a three-way call. So when I'm doing a three-way call, I'm reading the energy of the client. I'm reading the energy of the prospect. I'm there for them. I'm there to find out if I can answer a question that's a valid question. I'm going to answer most of their valid questions. I'm also going to be able to differentiate debate between what's a skeptical question, what's a prove-it question, and what's a valid question. You'll learn this by repetition and experience. Learn to read people's energies. Learn to read someone if they're skeptical or someone who has great energy. Also, don't get attached. Sometimes someone who starts out skeptical can be a superstar, and someone who starts out looks like they can be a superstar ends up becoming skeptical. This is why you don't get attached to people. You meet people where they are. You watch what they do, and then you hear what they mean. You listen to what they say, but you become skilled at hearing what they mean. What does that mean? Yeah, Y-E-A-H, I'll get back with you. You should be able to understand what that means. That means that they're typically blowing you off. They're telling you what they think you want to hear. And they're really saying, I won't ever be getting back with you. When this situation happens, you're not getting rejected. You're not getting abandoned. You're not getting violated. The person isn't interested. You'd have to understand what that means so that you're not overwhelming yourself. So in three-way call etiquette, I'm going to go over this one more time again so you're real clear on this. When you have a prospect that you think is a viable prospect, you take a viable prospect to someone of influence and affluence to assist you to understand the art of closing. I recently had someone contact me on Facebook and said, can you do a three-way call for me? My prospect's skeptical. I type back, no, I will not be able to do a three-way call for you. Your prospect's skepticism doesn't qualify for my time. The reason being, I'm not in the convincing business. Now, if she would have said, my prospect has a few questions I'd like you to answer for him, that would be a whole different context. But I typically am not in the convincing business. I'm not going to answer on the back of my heels a lot of questions and defend our industry, defend my company, and defend myself as someone who's a broke dick. I just am not going to do it. And I suggest you don't do it either, because it's usually a lesson in futility, because that's typically a flaw finder. I'll never forget, I took this broke attorney from Arkansas to the number one income earner in my company. He goes, yeah, well, I'm attorney, and you know, I'm going to check you out with the attorney general, and I'm naturally skeptical. And my upline at the time said, you know what? Hey, pal, being skeptical isn't natural. It's a conditioned behavior. It was classic. That was donut central. That was really the end of the conversation. She said, you know what? What I'm going to do is give you a place where you can do your own research, and why don't you get back with us if you feel comfortable? And then that woman proceeded to say, you know, don't ever bring me that kind of prospect. I was newt at the time. And then that woman also said to me, she goes, are you attending the conference coming up next month? And I said, absolutely. Now, I did not have the income for that conference, but I said, absolutely. I wasn't going to embarrass myself. I went to that conference, did have a breakthrough, and learned a great lesson in don't take a non-qualified buyer to someone who's a millionaire or someone who's an expert. So the whole purpose of a three-way call is to build credibility. When you build credibility by edifying the expert. And it's not fake, it's not hype, it's real. You edify the expert. It'll be my absolute privilege to be able to get you on the phone with one of the top people in our company. This person's a diamond, a root, whatever it is, whatever pen level it is. You want to be able to edify their credibility. It's usually not an overnight situation that you can get that person on the phone. You typically have to arrange it. You edify that, and this person will be able to answer all your questions for you. If you join our culture, this is the part of what we do that makes what we do unique. We have a team effort. So that edifies that you're joining a whole culture, that it's not all about you. You're not a man or a woman on an island. And that kind of credibility leads people into that situation. That some of the team pages in today's world do some of the same situation. Some of the team pages on Facebook and social media, because you take a prospect to one of those team pages, that's like a three-way call, because they get to see the size of the organization. They get to see the culture of a team. They get to see that they're not in business by themselves, while they're in business for themselves, they're in business with others. And that starts to lessen people's anxiety, because it creates the wow-whoa factor. Whoa, wow, I can see myself doing this. That's why you leverage a team page, you leverage a three-way call, you leverage a video, so that the prospect doesn't feel they have to be an expert. One of the number one reasons that people people don't join the business. If their left brain says, I can't do this, this is too difficult. That's why if you're complicated and you're difficult, then you've already created a mixed message to someone who already has anxiety about that. That's how you fulfill your disappointment, by creating a situation that hasn't happened, by telegraphing your anxiety or overcomplicating the situation by being in control. Your objective is not to control your team. Your objective is to be able to direct your team. Your objective is not to be able to control the prospect. It's to be, your objective is to qualify the prospect, find out if there's a problem you can resolve. When you learn to live in ease, when you learn to live in absolute humility, and you're not overwhelmed or anxious about events that haven't happened, then you are so relaxed that many of your prospects want to join you because of the energy that you transmit and transmute. This is why some people are so good at this, they don't have to say a lot. And when they do say, it has impact, it has effect. That's what posture is. Posture is not over-posturing someone, it's not controlling someone, it's being so relaxed in the process that you're telegraphing the ease of this business. And when you come from that place of power, then there's no force. But when you show up in anxiety or you feel pressure to close sales for your team, oh my God, I have to close this sale for my teammate or I'm going to look bad. And you're not looking anything. You're looking anxious. It has nothing to do with being bad. It's your own control. It's being in control of being out of control so you can be disappointed. When you let go of pressure that does not exist or control that is not real, then you create a whole different energy, and then you create a space where it's comfortable for your teammates to bring prospects for you. Now, I used to have a reputation early in my career, oh my God, we can't take our prospects to him because he will blow them out of the water, meaning that I was too aggressive, too abrasive, too concerned with being perfect and all the other situations that a recovering addict in early recovery has who isn't comfortable with himself. I would grind my teeth. I'd put pressure on my teammates. Why haven't you come to the event after all I did for you? How come you're not bringing three ways to me? Well, they wouldn't bring three ways to me because I was too abrasive and too aggressive. As I learned to no longer be the mind-body connection to the events that I got violated in that were creating my unresolved anger, I started to let go. And then in that situation, the law of the lid changed. I started to attract a different type of person in my reality, fostered a whole different level of change. People began to show up differently. This is not a phenomenon. It's not phenomenal. It's science. As you begin to let go of the control that keeps you overwhelmed, as you let go of the control that fulfills your story, all of a sudden your energy changes. Then you move from awareness. You move into love, joy, bliss, reciprocity, prosperity. You let go of doubt, overwhelmed feelings. You let go of rejection, abandonment, guilt, and especially shame. As you begin to let go of those feelings, then your energetic vibration that you transmit and transmute from begins to send a much clearer signal. When you're in a mixed message, you attract people and situations to fulfill your feelings of low self-esteem. But if you're one of these people like I was this, if I'm just successful enough, then that will mask my self-esteem. Maybe I should go to another city. That's what I'll do. I'll go start a business in another city, or I'll go start a business in another company, but what I kept finding is my low self-esteem would follow me. When you let go of the anxiety about not being good enough, and when you don't use success to mask your confidence, what many people do is they'll create a false sense of security in their ego, and they'll use confidence to mask their low self-esteem, or they'll become highly competent to mask their low self-esteem. When you have self-esteem means I'm lovable, I'm good enough, I'm capable, then you can do a three-way call in 5, 10, 15 minutes. Then you can close a sale in a relatively short period of time because you don't create a placebo effect to fulfill low energy or low self-esteem. There is no placebo effect. You are you, and you are free. When you come from that place, that's what genuine, being authentic, being real means. It means that you don't have to answer stupid questions. You don't get overwhelmed. You don't feel pressure on closing the sale for your teammate because you're desperate, they're desperate. You don't take on their energy. You don't. Your teammate's success is not about you. Their success is about them, but you can facilitate some of their successes by being the leader they're looking for. But you can't close every sale for them. So if you put pressure on yourself to close, then you've already created a mixed message. You've sent the wrong signal, and then you're telling the prospect that we're desperate. When you let go of that kind of anxiety, then you foster a whole different level of communication. And then the mechanics of the three-way start to flow. It becomes a lot easier. I'll never forget, I did a three-way call for this one woman who was 5 foot tall. Her name was Cindy from Douglas, Wyoming. She'd answered a Casper, Wyoming newspaper ad of mine that I ran in 1995. She said to me, she goes, "Mr. Combs, do you think I can do this business?" I go, "Cindy, you know, I can't really answer that. A better question is, are you serious about succeeding this business?" She said, "I am." She goes, "Well, I'm not very good at selling." I said, "Well, that's good, because I am. If I can teach you how to qualify a lead, and I can do a three-way call for you, do you feel that would be enough for you to be able to overcome some of your disbelief about where you are?" I started doing three-way calls for every single day for several weeks. She became a rock star closer, made $250,000 in her second year. That was a newspaper ad that I for $45 in the Casper, Wyoming newspaper. I used to get 10, 15 leads a Sunday out of that newspaper. I'm not suggesting you do newspaper ads, because it's a whole different world in today's world, but I am suggesting that you learn how to create leads online and using LinkedIn. I am suggesting you learn how to create leads on Facebook and all the other social media sites. I'm suggesting you learn how to ask questions wherever you go. You're a lead generator. You don't go out to prospect. You prospect when you're out. You don't prospect everyone. You prospect the people that make sense to prospect them. They're warm. They have energy. They're available. They're receptive, and when you ask people these questions, then you do this. I was in a shoe store in Sausalito, California over the weekend. The woman knew my name because I'm friends with the owner. His name is Wayne Kalick. He owns a top-tier women's shoe store, and this is definitely women on the line tonight. You want to go to this page, Shoe Stories of Sausalito. The manager of the store had great energy. I suggested to the woman I was with that she should call her today. She did. Schedule an appointment for tomorrow. She's going to look at a presentation. See, that's how simple it is. You ask for someone's phone number. You follow up with them the next day. You qualify them for your time. You direct them to a place that they can review the content. And then you start asking for the commitment. You start to ask how they felt. When you engage in closing a sale, when you follow up with someone, whether it's a three-way call, someone brings them to you, or you follow up with one of your leads and you follow up with them, you state your name. This is Jeffrey Combs. I'm calling from Stockton, California. You and I spoke yesterday. You reframe what happened yesterday. You and I spoke yesterday. I'm following up to see if you reviewed the video. Based on what you reviewed, how did you feel? You ask a feel-felt question. Because you want to find out, as you're fishing, how they felt. Not what they thought. You don't ever ask anyone what you think. As you ask them what they think, then you're just giving them permission to think. Now, they're entitled to think, but you want them to feel. People buy in a relaxed state, not in an overwhelmed state. And if you've taken them to a place where it's very complicated, if you've had someone watch these five videos, then typically that's way too much. You want them to be able to review something that's relatively short, somewhere around 10, 15, 20 minutes, or something of that nature. This is why when you do a launch party or a home party, it doesn't do 2 or 3 hours. It should be I was the closer at those type of parties, and I closed in the office events, the private business receptions, and it was typically a 15-minute presentation up front, followed by a 10, 15-minute presentation. There's a half an hour, a break so the prospects can leave, they're not serious, and then the closer comes in. That would be me or another person named Jerry Clark. We used to close the room. We close the room, once again, in 10, 15 minutes. So the entire presentation is less than an hour. You're not holding people hostage. They're not getting home at 11, 12 o'clock. You can't duplicate this. It should be simple. It should be fun. It should be relaxed. You should be emotionally available to answer the questions in a sequence for people. This is relatively simple. It's not difficult. It's new. The more you understand that, the less overwhelmed you will be and get. As you begin to let go of your overwhelmed feelings based on past events, once again, your energy begins to shift. You don't feel anxious about the outcome. You learn that closing is an art. Closing is an experience. Closing is ease. Closing is nothing more than asking trial closing questions throughout a conversation. How serious are you? How committed are you? So my teammate brings me someone to be able to answer their questions. Once again, I'm going to fact find and rapport build, find out a little bit about that person. I'm not going to astral launch right into the process. I want to be able to warm the situation up. I ask a few questions. Then I ask them if there's any questions I can specifically answer for them about how to be compensated, how to use the products and services, how to use our signature products, a little bit of information about our company, credibility, longevity, these situations. This routinely will never take more than 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 minutes at an outside, anything over 30 minutes. I mean, I've occasionally done that for an isolated incident because I felt it merited it. I've encountered more complicated situations where someone wanted to bring five of their friends into a situation and me close them all at one time. Every situation is its situation. But if you're good at this process, this should not take a long time because most of America, most of Canada, most of Australia are emotional buyers. They buy emotionally based on commercials they watch. They buy emotionally based on signs they walk by. They buy emotionally because they go into retail stores. They buy emotionally because they see a billboard or a bulletin. They buy emotionally because they're conditioned to buy emotionally. They buy emotionally because they see a magazine. They listen to a television spot or an online spot. They listen to a radio spot. They buy emotionally. Now, when you understand that, then you are appealing to their emotional state. You don't appeal to their logical state. If you're appealing to your logical state, then you'll be on the phone for hours until they find a flaw in the situation. They'll go, yeah, that doesn't work. I want out of this conversation. When you appeal to their emotional state, now you're presenting to the right brain. That's where they see pictures. That's where they take trips. That's where they have dreams. That's where they have goals. That's where they have aspirations. But when you encounter someone who has no goals, no aspirations, doesn't know why they're on the telephone with you, then that should be a relatively short conversation. It's anywhere from a minute, two, three, four, or less. And you exit. You have an exit strategy where you diplomatically get out of the conversation. Now, once again, trial closing questions, you close early and often. How serious are you? How committed are you? What are you seeking to achieve in July of 2016? How serious are you about changing the quality of your health in 2016? How serious are you about improving your energy in the summer of 2016? How committed are you to getting the bathing suit before July 4th holiday? How committed are you to achieving your first four- and five-figure monthly income from the comfort of your home? How committed are you to firing your boss, leaving your career, leaving your job? I mean, these are commitment questions. If you're not committed, you can't ask commitment questions. When you're interested, you'll ask interested questions. Your prospects are going to mimic what you ask them. Your prospects will also respond to your unconscious message as well as your conscious message. That's why when you're in anxiety about the outcome, you've got pressure on yourself, you're feeling overwhelmed, you're not sure, you're uncertain, you're in disbelief, you're not in belief, you're in an emotionally addicted state, then you send a mixed message. That's when the prospect says, how much money have you made? How long have you been doing this? How long has this company been in existence? I mean, that's when they find the flaws because you telegraphed your own disbelief. As you begin to let go of the mind-body connections that shape those anxieties, then you are you and you are free. Then the message is much clearer. There's a much higher probability of a relaxed conversation, win-win situation, a diplomatic exit. If the person's not open, you're able to let go of that relatively quickly because you're not attached to the outcome. You're not personalizing it. You don't feel abandoned. You don't feel rejected. You don't feel overwhelmed. You don't feel anxious. As you begin to let go of these situations, then a whole different situation starts to happen. If you're the mentor, if you're the leader, and you're able to do three-way calls in a relatively effective, efficient manner that's not taking half an hour, then you're teaching your teammates to do the same situation. Closing is an experience. Closing isn't yeah, but. You don't have to explain all the benefits and features. When people buy a can of Right Guard, when they buy Old Spice deodorant, they don't look at the ingredients. They don't have to know all this. All they want to know, is that going to resolve a problem for me? Is it going to keep me from sweating? Is it going to make me sexier? That's what they're doing. That's why they're buying this product benefit and feature. When they buy a mop in a store, they don't have to know what kind of cotton is in the strings. They don't really care how pliable the wooden handle is. All they care if they can clean their floor with it. This is why so many people, they get so freaking complicated with some of the details that they think the prospect has to know all the details because you're so overwhelmed in your own details. You're so uncertain about your uncertainty that you telegraph your disbelief and uncertainty, and then voila, you get the very situation you sought to avoid, disappointment, to fulfill your disappointment. When you are no longer the mind-body connection to the violations, the events, the hostility, the abandonments and the rejections that you went through as a child that now became your identity, then you're able to separate your feelings from the events. Letting go is being able to separate your feelings from the events. The reason that so many people have challenges closing, because the brain associates closing and prospecting with abandonment and rejection. When you start to take rejection out of the equation and realize when someone's not interested, they're not rejecting you. When someone says they'll get back to you, meaning they're really not going to get back with you, they're not rejecting you, they're not interested. When you're able to resolve the issues that are unresolved, that you repress, and a repressed memory is what creates a dis-ease, as you begin to let go and have a better understanding, and you stop saying, I don't know, I don't know why I do this, I don't know why I did this, I don't know why my clients don't show up, I don't know why no one's there, I do, because you're not committed. You're not fully vested in the process. Now, what does that mean? It means you're interested. And when you become committed, then there's no backing down. When you're committed, when you're absolutely committed, then there's a level of humility that you will stay the course, that you will not back down. I will not be denied. And you don't say that with aggressive energy. You say in a very relaxed emotional state, knowing that you know that no matter what you have to go through, you're willing to go through whatever you're willing to go through to be that person you know you're willing to be. When you come from that place, then you're not impatient. When you're impatient, you've quit before you start. You're already setting yourself up to be disappointed. When you're impatient, when you say, I'm not a patient person, then freaking quit, dude, because this ain't for you. See ya, wouldn't want to be ya. When you bring that kind of ego into this business, you have failed before you start. This is not an instant gratification business. Although you can get instant gratification occasionally, but you also can't look at other people's successes and go, well, why am I not there? Because you're not there is why, because you're not that good yet. And when you can humbly understand, admit that you're a novice, you're a rookie, you have no sales experience, you're not that good at this business, when you're willing to learn from people who are, when you let go of overnight success, when you let go of these big goals you talk about, when you set big goals, typically what most people do when they set big goals is they have poor habits. If you have big goals, you better have big habits. The habits have to match the goal. So on tonight's call, once again, I'm going to wrap this up. I'm going to cover this. A three-way call should be a relatively exceptional experience in a relatively short period of time. You want your prospect and your teammate to walk away from that call ideally feeling very good, because you can't win them all. You want your teammate to also see that you can't win them all and you can't close them all, and you do not feel bad about the closes that you can't close because you can't close everyone. The purpose of a three-way call is to teach your teammate the art of closing in 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, or whatever it is you go through, but it's a relatively relaxed experience. The purpose of a three-way call is for your teammate to see the posture required to be able to close, that you don't get rattled, you don't get overwhelmed, you don't lose your composure, and even when someone is abrasive, hostile, or whatever the situation, you're able to neutralize that relatively quickly, get out of the conversation. The purpose of a three-way call is for you to be able to relax some of your teammates' anxiety so you can teach them how to close. The purpose of a three-way call is to build credibility in the team, to build credibility in the expert, to build credibility in the company, and to build credibility in the culture that's being created. You're fostering change. We're a win-win situation. We are a team. We come together. We band together. We are a culture. You can create the same kind of culture in today's world with team pages, group pages, and some of these situations because they serve some of the same purpose. They showcase the credibility. Credibility is a key factor. When someone is looking at a business, a lot of times they're saying, wow, I'm not sure if I can do this. I've been a janitor my entire life. I have a few dreams left over from my childhood, but I'm not sure if I can access them. I'm not sure if I'm good enough. And this is why sometimes when they get an instant gratification of a product, it takes away some of that anxiety. When they see the credibility that you bring to the table, it releases some of their anxiety and they say, well, I can do this. This is not that difficult. I can follow this recipe. I can follow that system. The purpose of a three-way call is to show how non-complicated it is, how relaxed it is, so anyone can come in and join your team and be able to create a result relatively quickly, provided they follow a system. They go forward in some of the directions that it's given, and they start to relax into the process. My name is Jeffrey Combs, president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. I will be in Atlanta, Georgia this Saturday. I will be in White Plains, New York, two Saturdays from today, and wrapping up the month in beautiful Orlando, Florida. If you want to get a hold of me, that can be done at 209-932-0227, 209-932-0227. And this is the last week that you'll have the opportunity to be able to have access to the live calls. You can still join the Prospecting Clinic at any time, but if you want to hear me live on the prospectingclinic.com calls, go directly to prospectingclinic.com, and you can register for this coming Monday. That is June 6th, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, live Prospecting Clinic and group page. My name is Jeffrey Combs. Have a great evening, everyone. I know many of you are off to beautiful paradise for some of your company's events this weekend. Enjoy, enjoy, enjoy the fruits of victory. You definitely deserve it. For those of you who are going off to the exotic places, I remember doing that many times myself. That is a great, great experience. You deserve the best. Be your best. Have a great evening, everyone.